Good day and welcome to the Waystations Ministries podcast. I'm Greg Spencer with a light for your journey and a good word for the road. It's great to be traveling together and I thank you for coming with me. Let's ride together for a while. Hey, it's great to be with you again, friends. Hope you're having a good week. Hope life is treating you well. I hope that what happened last week has been helpful to you. This is Greg Spencer with Waystations Podcast, and thank you for tuning in whenever it is that you do, and I hope that you'll find this one to be as helpful as the others have been, and that if so, that you'll pass it on to others. We've got some great things going on in Waystations Ministries. If you're interested, I do a daily devotion Monday through Friday, sometimes on Saturdays too, that you can find at waystationsministries.org, or you can find it at Waystations on Facebook, and that's an opportunity for a little bit of uplift every single day if you're interested in it. We've got a beautiful partnership taking place with Steamworks Creative in Gibsonia, Pennsylvania. On Tuesday nights, we do a spirit station is what we call it, a Steamworks spirit station, where we are providing different music, a variety of musical presentations from different musical artists and genres, and I do a spiritual message in between. It's at 7 p.m. on Tuesday nights. You can see it on Facebook Live, or you can join us, and we're hoping to build a community of spirituality by getting a little bit away from the church and a little bit more into real life, so hope that you can join us for that. But for now, it's time to go forward with our next episode, if you will. And so I'm going to start with a question. Have you ever had someone ask you, how is that working out for you? That question is almost never asked with a sincere desire to know. There's no curiosity or good intent, at least not in the times that I've heard it. Sometimes they say it for a joke. But generally, almost always, it seems to be an expression of skepticism. It's loaded with expectation of nothing good. There is the presumption that things aren't going well. And we laugh when we hear it because we've seen it used on TV and in movies. But we know the question is more of an insult than curiosity, more derision than concern. And so what happens is we don't like to hear it. We don't like to think any more about it. We don't want it to plague us, but sometimes we can't escape it. Let's try another one. Have you ever more or less shouted, oh, darn it, or some other phrase like that? I don't use that kind of word, but you might. When you have, are you talking about some kind of patch or repair? I don't think so. Is it more like a curse? Did you ever pause to think that what you're actually doing is opening up the gates of heaven, and pouring out all the power of the Holy Spirit against some trivial thing that you don't like and about which you don't really care? Imagine you have the ability to direct the attention and energy and will of heaven. It can be for good or ill. You, with just your word and attitude and spirit, can literally harm or heal. And so it really depends on what do you really want to do with your words? What do you want to do with your mouth? What do you want to do with your attitude and your expressions and your body language? A lot of people don't really think too much about it. They don't think too far ahead. They don't think about the consequences of their choices, the impact of their actions, or the physical or spiritual implications of the things they say and the things they do. How do you feel right now? Do you feel good? Do you feel cheerful? Do you feel happy? Do you feel uplifted? Or, like so many that I've seen, are you filled with anxiety and worry as you watch the news? Are you finding yourself continually deluged with negative news stories and negative talk and critical talk, and it doesn't seem to uplift in any particular way? In fact, it tends to drive us down further. Well, is that the way you want to feel? Imagine that you have the power to choose and to make it happen. Now, I believe that God gives us that power. I think very few people know it. I think very few people realize it. They don't know how to use it, and so they don't use it. Now, consider, when we feel bad, how do we look? What do we say? What do we do? Now, ask yourself, what did that accomplish? Did that do any good? Did I get anything of benefit out of it? Or do I feel worse, or at the least, the same? I suspect that what is most familiar, our go-to emotion, tends to be negative. Our response to things tends to be negative and critical. So, my concern is that we say bad things, do bad things because we feel bad, and what it does is it ends up making us feel worse. I'm not sure that's good. In fact, it's pretty clear that it's not good. John Wesley teaches a second step of faith. You may remember that last week we talked about the first step, and that first step was do no harm. Now, it's not that hard to realize what harm we do, but when you're thinking intentionally about doing no harm, what it does is it causes you to think about what you say and what you do and its influence on others. It's training you how to be intentional about your living. It gives you choices that you didn't have before. When you don't think about it, you just react with whatever comes off the top of your mind or out of your heart or not even thinking at all. But when you do think about it, you think a little bit further than your initial reaction, and that can choose to be better or worse, and that gives you responsibility and it gives you power. Now, the second lesson, the second step of faith, is to do good. If I'm not doing harm, then what do? Well, I try to do good. Why is that? Because I want to get along with people. I want to have a successful life. I want to prosper. I want to have contentment in my life. I don't want to be afraid. So what happens is when you do good, you feel better. You help others to feel better. And it's in keeping with a good God's desire for all of us and all of creation to live well and to be happy. And that's, I think, what everybody's striving for. The problem is that when you're self-oriented, when you're self-driven, when you're selfish, what happens is you start to disregard what happens to people or to things when you say whatever it is you feel like saying, when you do whatever it is you feel like doing. When your direction is inward towards yourself, you just don't care about the reactions or the impact that it has on other people, and you forget that there's going to be consequences and implications because of it. You don't realize that people remember the negative things that are done to them. They remember the hurts that they experience or the things that are said. And though they may try to mask it with their face, you know that inside their heart, they don't forget. I think we can forgive. I'm not sure we can forget. We can choose to ignore, and we can overlook. But we do so when we realize that the other person has our best interests at heart. When they care, we're willing to forgive. When they care, then we can overlook mistakes or we can overlook passions and emotions, and we can heal our wounds pretty well, I think. But we have to believe and trust that the other person cares about us. Well, they need the same thing. They need to know that we care about them. Now, what would happen if we took a little more responsibility for ourselves? Years ago, when I was in college, I was a member of a fraternity. And in that college environment, there was no shortage of bad language, insulting humor, conflicts, put-downs, the kind of stuff that happens between people, especially when they live in close quarters. And there was complete freedom. You could say or do whatever you wanted to do. And what that does is it makes you individually accountable for your individual choices and your own individual life. You are free to be responsible or not, to discover and be who you are, and to think about what you present to others, what you say and do, how you have an influence and impact on others, and how they respond and react to you. Now, one day, one of the foulest-mouthed guys in the fraternity stormed out of his room. He ran down into the social room where a lot of us were just hanging out, and he announced, "I've had it." Well, that kind of caught everybody's attention. We look up to see what in the world he's talking about. He says, "I can't stand the bad talk coming out of everyone's mouths. I'm not going to take it anymore." Now, this caused a little bit of confusion in the rest of us, as he was one of the ones who said a bad word about every other word he said. From now on, he says, "I'm not going to say another bad word. I'm going to try not to have another bad thought. So from now on, if I feel like saying a bad word..." And he paused for a second and looked down at the TV, and some food commercial was on. And he said, "If I feel like cursing, if I feel like using a bad word, I'm going to say cheese instead." Well, we looked at him for a moment, and in typical Brotherhood fashion, we kind of ignored it and went back to what we were doing before. We really didn't pay much attention, and we certainly didn't believe he was going to do that. We didn't think he could do it, and we didn't expect that he would. The next day, though, sure enough, he didn't say a single bad word that any of us heard. Every time, it was obvious that he was angry or upset or something didn't go right or he was disappointed. Any time that he would normally have used a foul word of some kind, he said the word cheese. And every time we heard it, the rest of us kind of looked at each other and we laughed. We laughed because we knew what he was saying. And we knew what he was meaning. It's sometimes called symptom substitution. But what it is trying to improve the quality of your life. You're trying to make a change. And that's what he was doing. He was very, very intentional about it. So it was that not just in the fraternity house where a lot of us lived, but also everywhere he was on campus. Now, almost everybody knew everybody on that campus, and they knew one another and who each other's character was. They knew who was good and who was bad and who was mean and who was nasty and who cared and who didn't. And so they knew him and they knew his language. And so what happened is they started to notice that he wasn't saying any bad words among them either. Every time it was obvious he was angry, he was upset, he was disappointed, or he just wanted to make a comment, he said the word cheese instead. And just as it happened in the house, everybody started to laugh. They turned that anger, that upset, that hurt, that harm, that negative reaction into something positive. I don't think anybody intentionally did it because it was just funny. When there was a Kraft cheese commercial on television, the entire campus laughed together. For a couple of weeks, it had an impact on just about everybody. It was so much fun to laugh at the word cheese that everybody started using the word cheese instead of the bad language that they were used to. And so it was that one person on an entire college campus was able to effect a positive change in almost everybody. That which was meant for harm was turned to good. That which was so critical and so negative and so caustic became a source of joy. Not the intent, not the emotion, but the substitution. Cheese is not a bad word, and it's not something anybody would say. And it got to the place where we would say, I cheesed myself, or you cheesed me, or I cheesed you, and we'd smile at each other. And that was, for a while, a very pleasant place to be, just about everywhere you went, because everybody started saying cheese. Isn't that amazing? Of course, God wants us to think good. He wants us to be good. He wants us to speak good and to act good. That's something you'd expect from a preacher. You'd expect that from teachers. You expect it from church. But what's that all about? Is that just some churchy religious thought? No, it's not. It's for our own good. When we think bad, we get worse. When we think good, we get better. It's as simple as that. If you would like to feel better about your life, then take some responsibility about what you think and what you feel, what you do, and what you offer to the world. This isn't just an idea from me. It's not just an idea from John Wesley. It actually comes from Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 6, beginning with verse 43, what Jesus says is, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks." When we do good stuff, we feel good. Others feel good. And together we live and work and enjoy and make things an awful lot better. We look forward to the next day. We look forward to focusing on our hope rather than on our dismay. We look forward to the positive things that we know are around us but have never paid attention to. And the more we pay attention to that, the more we see. The more we see, the more we enjoy, the happier we are, the more grateful we are, and the more pleasant we are to be with. This is what happens when we do good. But in order to do good, you have to think about it. You have to choose it. Now, the good news is, as musicians know, as athletes know, as writers know and public speakers know, that in the beginning, it takes some work. You have to really apply yourself to do this. It's something that's called practice. You've also heard the phrase, practice makes perfect. Well, that's really true. The more you intentionally do it, the better you become. The easier it gets, the more it becomes a part of you, and the happier everybody is. That doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. You will. But that's part of it too. A person who is good makes mistakes, but they don't punish themselves with guilt or shame. They don't carry the burden of it or the negative consequence to an extreme that's not worthwhile. They think more about positive productivity. Does this help? If it doesn't help, maybe I want to let it go. If it does help, I probably would benefit from a little bit more. And this is the way. This is the way to happiness. This is the way to contentment. This is the way to peace. It starts from the inside out. It comes from the heart. It comes from the mind. It comes from will and determination. But the more good we do, the better everything gets. So it's worth taking a step or two and not falling back into the mess by feeling guilt if we happen to mess up. Now, it's a simple mistake for which there is grace to forgive, as there always has, as there always will, for everything, for those who want it and those who wish a better life. So I encourage you, do good, say good, be good, show good, think good. The more you do, the better it'll be. And that'll be happy for just about all of us, don't you think? It's something to consider and something to apply. I found it to be better for most of the things that I encounter in my life, and that's why I'm happy to share it with you. Maybe it'll make a difference for you too. Well, I hope you enjoyed being with me. I hope you have some thoughts of your own that will guide you in your choices and in your living in the week to come. And I hope that you'll join us again next week as we get back together again for another Waystations podcast, trying to find our way through the mess of this turbulent and tumultuous and uncertain world. Maybe there's a few who can walk with confidence and with a smile on their lips. And the more they get that, the better everything will get. The better everything will be. Maybe that's the way it's intended to be. At least we can work that way. Thanks a lot. Take care. Well, I'd like to thank you for being with us this time and hope that you'll join us again next time, next week, when we get together for a little more time on the road together. May it be good for you all the way through.